listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM. Chris Howlett is not only an accomplished cellist, he's also an orchestra administrator. And recently he sat down with Rita Ehrlich to talk about this month's Bendigo Chamber Music Festival. It's an exciting new addition to the Victorian arts scene, held in the historic mining town in central Victoria.
Chris Howlett, welcome to Travel Writers Radio. Chris is a musician, he's a cellist, he's a performer, and most extraordinarily, he's also an administrator. He's the director of the Sangwan Estate Music Festival. He was the chairman of the board of 3MBS, Melbourne's community classical music station. He is the director of the Music in the Round at the Abbotsford Convent. He went on a tour to China, taking music and coloured pencils to encourage children to listen to Western music in a different way by drawing what they heard. Chris, you are now taking on something new with Howard Penny. You're the directors of the Bendigo Chamber Music Festival in February. How did that come about?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. Bendigo Chamber Music Festival. It's an exciting new festival in the festival landscape of Australia. It came about because Sangwan Estate Music Festival sells out 12 months in advance. And we started doing small events in Bendigo so that the local community of Bendigo could experience chamber music as Howard and I'd like to present it, which is the highest quality, but also in a very intimate setting. And so we decided that we'd take it to the next step, which would be to make Bendigo Chamber Music Festival a five-day major event and make it a experience that the whole of Australia can enjoy. So we wanted to also make a point of difference, and that's why we contacted the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, of which Howard has been a member for 30 years when he was in Europe, and talked to them about bringing musicians over. So this year we have seven musicians of the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, and over the next 3 years we will build that to being 12 and 15 and 20 musicians. And we decided with that artistic difference, or of course with also the very best Australian musicians like Stefan Casamassonis and Sophie Rao, as well as working with some of the younger musicians, of which Howard and I are both very passionate about, alumni from Australian National Academy of Music, ANAM, and also Australian Youth Orchestra, we put together 14 concerts over the 5 days. We also wanted to make sure that it wasn't just performances, but we also really engaged with the local community and with the music community in general. And part of that was to make sure that we had a very in-depth educational program. And we've got 37 different educational events happening over that week, which is really exciting. Right from working with the Bendigo Community Symphony Orchestra, to going to the local special needs schools, to going right up 1 hour beyond Bendigo, going to a very small school that only has 12 children in it, you know, which is as equally as important as going to some of the larger schools in the area. So we have that, and then we have a community engagement program where Adelaide Harmony Choir, which is a community choir in Adelaide, Camberwell Chorale, again from Melbourne, and then Bendigo Chamber Choir are all coming together throughout the week, rehearsing together, sharing ideas, sharing their love of choral music, and then performing with the Chamber Orchestra of Europe and the Australian musicians as part of Bendigo Chamber Music Festival on the Saturday in the big cathedral. So, Rita, we sort of wanted to make a big statement, but also make sure it was holistic and a round approach so that all the, you know, everyone can enjoy it, both the professional musicians, the community of Bendigo, the music community of Australia, and also those who are aspiring musicians.
So, Chris, what's on the concert programs?
Well, we've divided the program over into a number of series. So we have the evening summer night series, which is the 7:30 series, the galas, and they're the really big, you know, classic 90-minute programs with interval. And so we have the opening gala on the Wednesday night. The Thursday night is a program where we look at the a year in the life of Beethoven, and particularly 1802. Of course, next year is this year now is a big celebration of his birthday, and so we wanted to take 1 year and really look a snapshot of his year. So we're looking at 1802, where he wrote the Second Symphony, the Kreutzer Violin Sonata, which are the two big main ones, but also an array of great music that isn't perhaps played often, six variations, some Germanic dances, and some of the Opus 48 songs. The Friday evening is the musicians of the Chamber Orchestra of Europe just performing themselves, and they're performing the works that they have, their house style, I suppose, for a better term, where, you know, they Chamber Orchestra of Europe has worked with Hanekor and those iconic big conductors for so many years, and they've built their own style as an orchestra, and so they're going to perform the Mozart Clarinet Quintet, which is they perform regularly over there. Dvorak, they've just come off a whole year of working on Dvorak with Hanekor, and also Vivaldi, which is very close because they believe in going right back to that start and the early music and building from there. The Saturday night is the Big Mayor's Gala, which will be a lot of fun. So everyone is performing Mozart's Piano Concerto. Daniel Deborah will play with Chamber Orchestra of Europe. Glinka, which is not quite so known. And also the Brahms String Quintet in the full string orchestra arrangement, which will be just glorious. The mornings are recitals. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday mornings, we have recitals. And that's really focusing on the next generation. So Thursday morning is a morning with Anam. And Lily Higgins-Spence is performing with Stefan Casamenos. And she's coming back from Europe especially for this festival, which will be lovely. Friday morning, it's a morning with Australian Youth Orchestra, and that's the Partridge Quartet, who are all alumni and been part of their program a lot. And then Saturday morning is a morning with Andrew Goodwin, who everyone knows these days as an amazing tenor, and he's playing with his good friend Daniel Deborah. The afternoons are an inside and out conversation concerts. So we wanted to take it another step further, not just perform, but give the audience a real insight into how we approach music, why we approach music the way we do. So the Thursday, for example, is the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, the orchestra, a tribute to the Hanekor and how they approach music and that house style that we were just talking about. Friday is inside and out of the piano trio genre. So Sophie, myself, Howard, and Lucy Gould all play in professional piano trios or have done. So we're going to talk about the history of the piano trio, starting right at the Haydns in the early days, all the way up to Ian Munro, so the contemporary, and the different roles within the instrument and why we love the format. And then the final series, the fourth series, is the 5 o'clock series. And that's a lovely, we're calling the dusk series. And that's a lovely 5 o'clock, 1 hour concert. And we're also matching that with a number of the local producers. So, for example, Sanguine Estate will be doing a wine tasting, Jasper Hill, Tubrack Pub and Brewery, so, Sandhurst Winery, a number of these local producers, so that it's, you know, a really lovely way to spend. Hey, who doesn't love spending 5 o'clock in any night of summer night with a glass of wine or a cool beer and some nice chamber music?
If it's 5 o'clock, is it time for a glass of wine? I've got two practical questions. How difficult is it to ask people to come to Bendigo? Do you just phone around and say, listen, what are you doing in February? Do you want to come to the and join us at the Bendigo Chamber Music Festival?
Basically, yes, I suppose. Obviously, we don't call everybody. Howard and I sit down and we work out the instruments that we need. I suppose, to make sure that we have a really varied program, but also a rehearsal schedule that works, which is not often what people consider. But, you know, you have to... We all only have a 1 week prior to the festival to put all this music together. So you have to make sure that, you know, you don't have one person playing in every single work so that you can only rehearse everything back to back to back. You have to have, you know, different pieces that work at a rehearsal schedule at the same time as other pieces. So the variation and then the logistics. And then when, and then obviously the people that we want to come, you know, that both are for festivals, Howard and I both believe, not only do they have to be brilliant people, but they have to be, you know, up for it, because festivals are always busy and crazy, and but also, you know, people that, you know, want to go out and chat to the audience, you know, and have that, you know, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock wine and cheese, or if they see them in the cafe, they're happy to sit down and say, oh, why did you enjoy that concert? You know, that sort of stuff is a point of difference at Howard, and I really believe in. We don't necessarily want those musicians that just play the concert and then scurry back to the hotel room, because, you know, I think a festival should be more than that. That fourth wall really needs to be broken down, because that's what's special about festivals.
That's right. It's the difference between a festival and a concert. Next practical question. Where does the money come from? How do you bring musicians from Europe? How do you pay a fee to all the musicians who are performing?
I love it, Rita. That's a hard-hitting question. Financially, for the festival, we've done a real mixture. Howard and I strongly believe in working on a business model that is as close to, if not completely commercially viable. So that festival that supports predominantly supports itself through tickets. So that's really important. And of course, the city of Bendigo has helped out immensely with regards to providing us with these beautiful theatres and the staffing for those theatres. Without that support, the festival would, you know, be really hamstrung right from the word go, because, as you know, venue hire and staffing, particularly, you know, that's these 5 days worth of staffing is really expensive. And then we've had some fabulous support for the educational program from H.B. McKay Foundation and a number of foundations, which has been just beautiful. And then we have some very generous supporters and donors. I think what's important when you're talking to donors is that donor money is the money that enables you to bring that special 5%. It enables Howard and I to go, you know what, we're going to do that because that is amazing. And it also gives us the creative flexibility to develop a super high-end festival.
That donor money, in a sense, is your play money, your creative money.
Yeah, it's perhaps wouldn't say play money, but it's first of all the support that enables Howard and I to sleep at night before the festivals, the tickets are on sale. But also it's that, yeah, it enables us to continue to have long-term sustainability and long-term creativeness.
When I talk about play money, I don't mean it in a derogatory way. We play music. It's that
exactly.
Sort of playing.
It's not so that we can open 1984 Chateau de Chems.
That's right. Also, let's have a party now. This sounds absolutely wonderful.
That was Rita Ehrlich there speaking with Chris Howlett in Bendigo. Apologies about that little echo. I'm not sure whether Chris was in one of those beautiful big old Victorian buildings in Bendigo with a lot of echo, but we hope it was sufficient that it didn't interrupt your enjoyment of the interview.